Hey friends, you're listening to the Axiom Church podcast. We're a church community centered around experiencing Jesus, being together, and loving our city, which is Peoria, Arizona. But we hope that you'll check it out and that you'll engage us online. You can do that on our website or on any of our social medias, Axiom Church AZ. So enjoy this episode.
Good. You know, this morning we didn't know if it, right now we don't know if it's going to be rain or shine out there when we wrap up. A week ago, we didn't know whether the city would give us approval or not by today. They did. Praise God. Yeah. Before that, when we launched this initiative to love our city, and with that, of course, the playground's part of this, we didn't know how we were going to do it. But what we did know was that there was no one like our God. Amen. And that our God's capacity is immeasurable. And I want us to let that sink in for a second, because often I think that as we notice in our interior life with God, that God is at work in small, seemingly at times insignificant ways, and yet that's where the big work begins. That whatever it is that is to come out of, that is to happen out here, begins in the interior in cooperation with God. But it would mean that we would have to live in faith, that we would have to trust God in all that He invites us into. And the truth is, God has invited us into an effort and into a work that goes far beyond even this playground or this city or whatever it is that we find ourselves rooted in. That God's work is enormous, but it's also in these small spaces. So like 2 years ago, I think we talk about that now as pre-pandemic season of life. We felt led by God to kick off this Love Peoria initiative. And that was going to look like loving on the artists, loving on the families in the neighborhood, loving on business and old businesses and new businesses, heck, even loving on the churches here in the neighborhood and the community. And we've been actively participating in that in a myriad of ways over these last few years. But with that, there was this keen sense and awareness, a desire, if you will, to create a space for play. I remember one of our first Sundays here, our weeks here as a church, it was after one of our first Sundays, there was a whole group of kids from the neighborhood just kicking the ball in the alleyway behind us. And at that time, our landscape was just dirt. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot there. We had the tree and we had some grass, but it wasn't a whole lot going on. And in that moment, I just remember thinking, like, man, like, we have to be a church that is outside of what happens in this space. We have to be a visible church, a church that is out here. And I remember we hosted a dinner early on while we were here, and we invited the church to pray. And I said, hey, but we're going to go out there and pray. I want you to surround the building and pray, because we want to be a visible church. And that is still at the heart of our desire, is to be a church that loves our city in a way that is evident, or actually, I should say, self-evident by the way God is at work in each of us. Now, as I said before, we have not known how these things were going to take place. And that's the factor I want us to remember here, is that so much of what it is that God's doing, in fact, if you were to put in a bucket all the things you desire to God to do, right now we'd say there's mystery there. There's a lot of who knows what's going to happen there. But what I can tell you is that things are going to happen. God is going to do something. And that's why it's our invitation to still show up to the party, even if we don't have exact instructions for what we're going to do when we get there. Okay? And that's what it felt like 2 years ago, commissioning you guys as a church to go in love. It felt like we were at a wedding that Jesus had gone to. Back in John, we read about this wedding. He shows up, and the wine's all gone. And so here we are. We're at the party, but there's no wine. That's what it felt like. And we're wondering, who's going to bring the wine? How's it going to show up? And Jesus then invites us. He says, hey, servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. And now, I don't know about you, but like that would be an unusual instruction if you were looking for wine. And occasionally, you should probably just stick with water also, okay? Sometimes the Lord needs to turn wine into water. But here we are as a community, and we've been invited to fill the jars with water. So here's what we're going to do, Axiom. We're going to fill it to the brim. Because all he said is fill the jars. So, well, we're going to go all the way then. We're going to do it, even if we don't know how this is going to happen or what's going to take place or how, you know, but we're going to do it because God's called us to love our city, to serve the city, to give them good wine. So, Lord, bring the wine. But it doesn't stop us. We don't wait for the wine to show up to start filling the jars. And so in faith that God is doing something beyond our maybe at the moment's capacity to understand, we start filling it. We simply believe because God has invited us into something. And this process requires a few things, okay? And we talked about this 2 years ago when we launched this. We knew that it was going to require prayer. That's why we got out and prayed. But with that prayer, we said we need to pray because we don't have eyes if we cannot pray. We can't see our city, our community, our neighbors as God sees them if we are not first in prayer. And that's just a confession, because without it, we're too tempted to see it as we've trained ourselves to see it. So Lord, give us eyes to see. Paul talks about this in Ephesians 1:18. Check it out. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Now pause right there. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. And we pray that the eyes of each other's heart will be enlightened, because I'm not sure our hearts are always enlightened left to themselves. This requires something that goes beyond what you on your own can do. That's the nature of a relationship with God and others. That's the nature of why we are a church, because we confess that there's a God who is beyond us, but also somehow miraculously at work in us. In the same way that we're putting water in the jars, God is enriching us, placing something deep in us. And we might not know what it is or how it's going to get pretty or taste good, but we trust because we believe that our God is like no other, that his capacity is far beyond our own. The riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people. He's called you to this, that in prayer we are enlightened by the riches, by the glorious inheritance. And Paul just invites us into that. We're going to come back to that verse later because there's a lot there. So to love Peoria, we got to pray. We got to pray, and we've been doing it. Our prayer team, ever since then, I think, has been praying every single month, getting out there, walking the streets, praying. Saturday mornings, it got so hot out there, they started going out at like 6 or 7 in the morning. That's when I peaced out. Sorry, by the way. By the way, next Saturday, you should go. They've been walking the streets praying, asking God to give us eyes to see. And I shared this with you a few months ago. One of the things that the prayer team has brought to my attention, and we need them for this, is that God is doing something across the street too. We don't yet know what it is, but God's doing something, and they felt an invitation to begin to stir and to dream and to pray and to think and to just press in faithful measures. To respond. Did you know that our prayer team responds to what God is inviting them into? We're not the church without that response. without that agreement with what God is doing. And so we pray. But we also challenged our church to love Peoria. We knew we were going to have to give sacrificially. And you guys began to do that. And you're still doing that. We still have a Love Peoria Fund, which we use for the purposes of loving on the city. Families in need, businesses in need, whatever it is, if it comes to us or if we see it as we pray, we have a small pool of resources from what we've given and continue to give that continues to be available for those purposes. That's important. We need to keep doing that. But also we felt led to have patience. To have patience. Proverbs tells us this. It's not going to come up. It says, better a patient person than a warrior, than one with self-control, than one who tries to take the city. How many times have we gotten caught up in our emotion and excitement and rushed ahead to do something in our own effort? How many times have we been tempted to just, like, take the credit and make it happen, or whatever it is? Patience purifies the process. It allows us to trust God. It allows us to hang on His every word. It holds us. It holds us. It gives us the wisdom to not confuse our plans with His plans. And as I said, keeps us from rushing ahead. So patience and prayer. But also we felt led not just to give and have patience and prayer, but to be surprised, to have a holy expectancy as a community, to hold in anticipation that God is going to, in fact, do things. But remember, they begin in here, and they work their way out. Now, I was convinced, and I think most of us were convinced, that patience would come before surprise, okay? That we would have a long season of being patient. And to our surprise, we were, in fact, surprised before we had to be patient, but we did still have to be patient. Just a few weeks after we kicked off this initiative, I got a phone call. And I know some of you have heard the story, but I got a phone call from an unknown number, and thank God I decided to answer the phone. I normally don't. I don't even answer when I know the number half the time. Sorry if that's you. I got a phone call from an unknown number, and I'm sitting in my office, and I pick it up, and it says, hey, greetings, this is Pastor Gavin. Somebody asked for Pastor Gavin, which I was like, oh, because I'm not used to being called a pastor. Why, yes, it is. It is Pastor Gavin. Who's this? So, oh, well, I pastor a church here in Peoria as well. I'm one of the pastors of the church here in Peoria. And we heard about what you're doing. We heard about the work that you guys are doing. I said, well, really? What? Tell me. What did you hear about? I said, well, we heard about your Love Peoria project. And we heard that you guys desired to put in a playground. Is that right? And I was like, well, yeah. I said, wait, hold on. Sorry. Are you one of the churches right up the road? Or where are you? He says, oh, well, we're around the valley. I said, oh, what church is it? He goes, well, I pastor at Christ Church of the Valley, CCV. I said, oh, well, cool. And how can I help you? He says, well, we as a community feel led to do something. And he began to tell me a story about something they were calling More Than Us. But I want to let them share with you what it is that they as a church felt led to do. And so CCV put this together to help their church and help those churches that they came in support of. Check it out.
Our vision is to reach the entire valley for Christ. There's 4.7 million people in the valley. Even if God doubled our impact tomorrow, and we were reaching over 70,000 people, do you know what percentage of the valley we'd be reaching? 1.5%. Is that big? No. So this is what I've tried to tell you all the time, and I just want to keep saying it until I sound like a broken record. We are not a big church. We are a small church with a big vision to reach this valley for Jesus Christ. And we're going to do everything we can to reach this valley. I want to cast a vision of how we can help other churches around us. If we want to reach our city for Jesus, it requires what? More than us.
This more than us campaign is significant. I don't know of any church anywhere that has done anything quite like it, to take up an offering to 100% give to other churches in the area. That just doesn't happen.
If we want to reach our city for Jesus, it requires what? More than us. If we want to reach our city for Jesus Christ in our lifetime, it requires that CCV is not the only church that's thriving. It requires that every church in our city, we give an opportunity to thrive and grow and just let Jesus be known across our whole city. It has to require more than us.
Yeah. Pretty awesome, huh? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you can see on their site, you can go there and check out some of the other communities that they've supported, but to our surprise, God was at work, the interior level. And of course, that always gets out. And CCV decided to write a check for $285,000 to help us build out our grounds here. What a gift. What a gift. This, of course, is a call for us to have faith that those mundane things can become miraculous things. That God's at work in both the pocket size and the mountain size. That God can do more than us. He can do more than we can do on our own efforts. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we read this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." Okay? Now, just hang on this for a second, that he could have just said, hey, more than you can ask. God can do more than that. Oh, of course he can. But not just more than you can ask, but more than you can imagine. God is capable of doing immeasurably more, Paul says. Can we trust that? Can we act as if that's so? I want to stir us to act in that kind of confession with our life. And we can be tempted at this moment to say, well, hey, if I don't have to ask and I don't even have to imagine, well, I'll just throw in the towel and let God do his whole thing. God, you go right ahead. I'll be over here. But this verse keeps going. It says, if you go back real quick. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Remember that water that's getting poured into the jar? Remember that thing that God's instilling in us and inviting us into? God might want to do something immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine with that water. And we know what Jesus did with that water. John chapter 2, verse 8, after he says, just, hey, go fill it up. I know you don't know. You don't have it all figured out yet, but trust me, wine's going to happen. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, we knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests. After the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now. That's the work that God's doing. That's the difference. Is that if we can act in trust of what God is doing, that the best is still before us because God is still at work within us. So yeah, it's time for us to take that which is in us and share it with the master banquet. See, one just principle of the kingdom is always that we are first guests and servants. That we are ushering for others. We are serving others. That's our role. This is what Jesus enters into the world to do. We get to be the wine poured out. And this is why we love Peoria. Because we've been filled with the love of God. To help us see that, I want to go back to the Ephesians passage, this time in context. Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 21, or sorry, 16 through 21. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be, here it is, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Guys, this is what God is at work in us doing. May we not get in the way of that. May we choose to have faith. May we choose to allow God to transform us entirely. May we choose to have God take our water and turn it to wine. May we trust him to do that and then act accordingly. So I want to just end in asking the question, do you believe God can do more through you than you could ever ask or imagine? And do you believe God can do more through Axiom than we could ever ask or imagine? So far, that's all I've witnessed. I don't have another story to tell you, except that God continues to surprise and continues to pour himself out for each of you and for this community. And I am so grateful to get to be a servant of his. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would help us, that you would root out all the other plans or schemes or things that we hold, that we would set that aside and make this jar empty so that, Lord, you can just fill it with what you want and what you desire. Do the work in us, Christ. And help us to have faith and to act in accordance with that faith as you've invited us to do. Amen. All right, a couple of things I want to announce to you just coming up. Again, you heard it already, but the prayer walk is this coming Saturday at 8 a.m. And guys, I would love it if all of you were there, if every one of you just chose to show up for this one, walk the neighborhood, enjoy the weather, let the eyes of your heart be enlightened for this community. So I encourage you to come. and join George and Christina and the team for this upcoming Saturday's prayer walk, okay? Let's do that together. Also coming up is an Acts Venture on the 9th. They're meeting here at 7 a.m. and going up to Sedona for a hike. So get on that. That'll be fun. And then Second Saturdays kicks off that evening. And guys, Second Saturday is a big deal. This is another Love Peoria opportunity for us to come be the visible church. And so come, enjoy the bands, the artists, and the refreshments, the food, and just enjoy time with others and get to know the neighborhood and the community. That'll be happening right in our yard and across the way here. And so that's coming up on the 9th. And then, of course, today after this service, rain or shine, they're going to do some burgers out there. And so we invite you to have a meal and to hang out together and get soaking wet if you have to. And we'll just trust God with the party. So, okay, lastly, as we go into worship, can I invite you to give today, to respond with generosity as you always do each week? We trust this time to be a time where God gets to confront us with the things we hold, and we just know it's good for us to be regularly confronted with that opportunity. It also is really good for the work that we're doing around here. It doesn't just keep the lights on, it helps us to be a blessing to others. And so please respond through giving and do that generously as you feel led. There's a few ways to do it. You can go to our website, you can text. You can go to the kiosk in the back, or if you want to go old school and write a check or something like that, there's envelopes on the tables. There's ways to give. And so, yeah, Lord, bless this offering. Thank you for the gifts of the church that go far beyond our finances and resources. Again, God, what a beautiful picture of that rich inheritance that we have in you, God. This flows through the servant heart and generosity of this community, God. May you use it tenfold to bless us.